Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. In this chapter, Paul begins a discussion on public worship. And in this first half of the chapter, the subject concerns the recognition of God's structure of authority in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Let's begin our study of this portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with some background notes. Verse 1 of this chapter is really the conclusion of chapter 10, and many of your Bibles show that by some kind of separation or outline. When Paul says in verse 1 to be imitators of him, just as he also was of Christ, he is urging the Corinthian Christians to follow the self-sacrificing attitude and example of Christ as Paul was seeking to do as a pattern of life. This was especially important concerning the proper use of Christian liberty, which was the subject of chapter 10. It is so important in Christian living to have the right view of Christian liberty. Not to recognize our liberty in Christ can lead to a legalistic lifestyle, which is unbiblical. And not restraining our Christian liberty can lead to license, where weaker Christians are stumbled and others are offended. Therefore, Paul says in verse 32 of chapter 10, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Notice, by the way, that the Jews and the church are separate entities in this New Testament passage. The New Testament church did not replace the Jewish nation. The church is not the new Israel. Israel is Israel throughout the Bible. Paul concludes his discussion of the proper use of Christian liberty with the last verse of chapter 10 and the first verse of chapter 11. Now in chapter 11, verse 2, Paul begins a new subject, a discussion concerning public worship. Now it's obvious that a new section is beginning here, because in verse 2, Paul says to the Corinthian believers that he praises them. Well, up to this point in the letter, Paul has not been exactly praising the Corinthians, but rather rebuking them. So a new section of the letter is obviously beginning here. Paul praises the Corinthians for remembering him in all things and for keeping the traditions. That is the central teachings and doctrines of the Christian faith that Paul had communicated to them. But now some further instructions were needed in reference to public worship. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So doctrinal point number one, recognizing God's structure of authority in the church brings glory to God. Recognizing God's structure of authority in the church brings glory to God. What is God's structure of authority in the church? It is given in verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So coming down from the top, the structure of authority in the church is from God the Father to Christ, the head of the church, to man, to woman. Recognizing this structure of authority in doctrine and practice brings glory to God. Now, how do we practice God's authority structure in the church today? We do it, first of all, by distinguishing between the roles of men and women in the church. Men are to be the spiritual leaders and elders in the church, and men are to be the public preachers and teachers in the church. Read 1 Timothy chapter 2 in this connection. We also practice God's structure of authority in the church today by the outward symbol of an inner attitude to bring glory to God. The New Testament church uses several symbols in its practice. There is the symbol of water used in baptism. There is the symbol of bread and wine used in the Lord's Supper. And there is the symbol of the head covering used in public worship, which is covered here in the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice how verse 10 refers to the head covering as a symbol of authority. Now, not all Christians are in agreement as to the exact interpretation of these verses. But most Christians recognize that whatever interpretation one holds, the doctrine of the head covering is not as crucial to the life and practice of the church as having the right view of more critical doctrines, such as the doctrine of the person and work of Christ, for example. However, if the spiritual leadership in a local church is convinced of a particular interpretation of these verses, individual members of that fellowship should respect the view of their spiritual leaders. There are basically four different views of the head covering within the evangelical church today. View number one, the head covering was strictly cultural. The head covering was strictly cultural. That is, it was only for the church at Corinth and has nothing to do with the church today, because in this view, there is no role distinction between men and women in the church today. Against this view would be 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we just mentioned, and against this view would be verse 16 here, which suggests that this is for all churches and not limited to the first century. Also against this view would be the fact that a creation argument is used in verses 8 and 9. Creation is before culture. Notice, by the way, how Paul emphasizes in verses 11 and 12 that recognizing this structure of authority of women being subordinate to men in the church, as God ordained it, does not mean that women are inferior to men. No, the Lord Jesus was submissive to God the Father, but not inferior. View number two, the head covering was a cultural symbol for a transcultural principle. The head covering was a cultural symbol for a transcultural principle. Now, by transcultural, we mean not limited by a particular time and culture, but good for all cultures and times, including today. So view number two is the head covering was a cultural symbol for a transcultural principle. That is, it's the principle of recognizing God's structure of authority that is important here. In this view, the principle is transcultural and good for all times and cultures, but not the symbol. The symbol is cultural. Any cultural symbol may be used in this view. Head coverings in the first century, wedding rings or something else today in this view. Against this view is the fact that the symbol is linked to the woman's hair, which is her glory, according to verse 15. So that leads us to view number three. The head covering is a transcultural symbol for a transcultural principle, and the transcultural symbol is the covering of the hair. One more time. The head covering is a transcultural symbol for a transcultural principle, and the transcultural symbol is the covering of the hair. This view seems to be supported by verses 13 through 15, which emphasize that God has designed nature itself, so that the average woman has a much more glorious head of hair than the average man. The hair, then, is the head covering in this view. Against this view is the fact that a different word for covering is used in verses 5 and 6 than the word used for covering in verse 15 when hair is referred to. Also, verses 4 and 5 don't make sense if the hair is the head covering. Try reading verses 4 and 5 and making the hair the head covering. So view number 4 is the head covering is a transcultural symbol for a transcultural principle, and the transcultural symbol is a covering in addition to the hair. One more time. The head covering is a transcultural symbol for a transcultural principle, and the transcultural symbol is a covering in addition to the hair. Now, this view is supported by the two different Greek words used for covering, as just mentioned, and the mention of the angels in verse 10. Angels cannot read your mind, but they can read your behavior. In this view, a symbol other than long or short hair makes more sense, since even unbelieving women had long hair and unbelieving men had short hair in the first century. So the covering must be a distinct symbol other than hair for the structure of authority to be recognized, even by angels. Recognizing God's structure of authority in the church brings glory to God. Doctrinal point number 2. Recognizing God's structure of authority in the church brings glory to mankind. Recognizing God's structure of authority in the church brings glory to mankind. Verse 7. For man is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. The way God designed nature is that in the animal kingdom, the male generally has more glory in the species, the more brilliant colors, etc. But in the human species, the woman is the glory of mankind. And according to verse 15, that glory is seen as focused in the woman's hair. Not her legs, not her breasts, not her face, but her hair. Now, in the presence of God, in public worship, mankind should show reverence by symbolically covering mankind's glory. How does mankind do that? Not by the man wearing a head covering, because that would be covering God's glory, verse 7. But by the woman wearing a head covering, which is covering mankind's glory. From God's perspective, as well as the angels, to ignore the symbol of the head covering in public worship is to detract not only from God's glory, but from mankind's glory. Recognizing God's structure of authority in the church brings glory to mankind. Practical application. Don't pull the traditions of verse 2 out of context. Verse 2 once again. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. The traditions that Paul is speaking of here, remember, are the central teachings and doctrines of the Christian faith that Paul had communicated to the Corinthian Christians. These are not the traditions that have been built up over the years in many churches and held as almost sacred, such as order of services and time of services and length of services and many other traditions, which may or may not be helpful and worth keeping. In any case, these are not the traditions of 1 Corinthians 11:2. So don't pull the traditions of verse 2 out of context.